Radio Prague News.
The opposition Top 09 Civic Democrats and Dawn Party want to propose a no-confidence vote in Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's government. President Zeman has signed an amendment to the energy law, and owners of the international current affairs magazine Newsweek have revealed plans to publish a Czech version of the publication. The opposition Top 09 Civic Democrats and Dawn Party want to propose a no-confidence vote in Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka's government. They made the announcement on Thursday at a press conference in the lower house. The move comes in reaction to Wednesday's vote over the support of biofuels. Despite its previous declarations, the ANO party did not vote to end a tax advantage for biofuels. The deputy head of Top 09, Miroslav Kalousek, has accused the government of corruption, saying that Mr. Babiš's company Agrofert would use the scheme to tunnel the state budget. President Zeman has signed an amendment to the energy law, the president's spokesman Jiří Ovčáček said on Thursday. The new energy law, among other things, cushions the burden on industrial users of supporting renewable power. It has drawn criticism mainly from the national energy regulator ERU, which has warned that it could spark a massive new drain on public and state resources, adding up to 150 billion crowns. The new energy law also enables households to install rooftop photovoltaic power stations with up to 10 kilowatt output without obtaining a license. Owners of the international current affairs magazine Newsweek have revealed plans to publish a Czech version of the publication. The launch of the Czech version, which would contain editorial content produced by a local team of writers as well as translated copy from the main publication, is being targeted for the autumn. A Czech language version would be the 9th local version of the original US publication. A Czechoslovak refugee from the Second World War has willed all his assets to the U.S. Department of Treasury, the Seattle Times Daily wrote this week. A Seattle-based couple, Joanne and Peter Petrasek, willed their entire estate of over $850,000 to the United States of America. Peter Petrasek was born in Prague in 1927 and fled Czechoslovakia in 1949 for political reasons. He died in 2012 at the age of 85. Although the will had no more specifics, the Daily suggests Mr. Petrasek made the move out of gratefulness to his adopted country. The army is set on Thursday to start clearing the wreckage of a Hungarian Gripen fighter jet which crashed at an airbase in Czaslav in central Bohemia on Tuesday. The accident happened during an international Gripen training exercise named Lion Effort. The plane's two pilots managed to eject and were unhurt when the aircraft came to a stop in a field near a runway at the base. The cause of the crash is being investigated by Czech and Hungarian experts. The wreckage will be stored in guarded premises at the air base. Dozens of people have called the Saska lottery firm in recent days, claiming to be the winners of a record 2.5 billion crown lottery jackpot. The spokesman for Saska said people are making up various stories about losing their ticket. One claimed the dog had eaten it. He also said they had received calls from women who would like to marry the prospective billionaire. The winning ticket was bought in the Pardubice region only one day ahead of the Eurojackpot draw. Its owner still hasn't come forward 5 days after the winning number was announced. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech economy gets the thumbs up from the IMF. We look at a photo exhibition from the Auschwitz album, which is currently on display at the Prague House of Photography. And in Panorama, we discuss the upcoming renovation of the National Museum building and the challenges it poses. All that coming up, so please stay with us. IMF approved is probably a badge that the Czech government ministers, finance ministry officials and central bank policy setters could wear with pride after the latest visit and assessment from the international economic watchdog and advisor. The latest report is broadly upbeat but contains the customary dose of caution and advice. Chris Johnston has more.
Overall, we see the Czech economy growing very strongly. This is based on good growth, good increase in domestic demand and exports. Regarding domestic demand, both investment and consumption are picking up, and this is a welcome development. So for this year, we expect output growth of 3%.
Head of the International Monetary Fund delegation, Kostas Christou, in Prague on Wednesday, sharing the news and views from the regular evaluation of how the Czech economy is shaping up. And it was generally an upbeat report on an economy which is clearly rebounding strongly after a long and painful recession. Sitting along the IMF mission head were officials from the Czech Finance Ministry and the governor of the Czech National Bank, Miroslav Singer, and they came in for a fair share of the praise as well. The IMF's latest growth prediction is an increase from the previous forecast of 2.5% growth this year. But for the middle term, the economic advisor and watchdog sees the pace slipping slightly to 2.25%. But 3% growth this year is still an optimistic figure from a traditionally fairly conservative institution. It compares with the Ministry of Finance's own forecast of 2.7% and the National Bank's figure of 2.6%. Prices should hover just above zero this year, says the IMF, avoiding the danger of falling into negative territory and running the risks of deflation, before strengthening towards the National Bank's 2% target in 2016. The central bank was praised for its controversial low crown policy and urged to keep it in place until inflation is clearly back on target. And the government too was applauded for its role boosting the economy through a relaxation of the fiscal squeeze. But an IMF report would not be worth its salt without a few recommendations where the country could do better and should make some adjustments. While Czech banks are in robust health, the IMF points out that borrowing by companies for future investment is still very low. One reason is probably that Czech companies are still largely financing expansion from their own resources. Although the government has done its bit to boost growth by pushing investment in infrastructure projects, it could do more to tip the balance in favour of long-term investment, the IMF says. It points out that there are still big gaps in Czech transport infrastructure, which makes costs of shipping goods higher than in many other countries. And it adds that spending on social benefits and health are relatively high, with the controversial accompanying recommendation that means testing of some benefits might be considered. It also says the country could do more to deal with brakes on higher growth, such as the low rate of employment of women with children due to inadequate childcare, continued lack of workers in some high technology sectors, and the inability of the education, training and jobs finding infrastructure to get the right people into work. And the IMF is also adamant that the Czech government enshrines its commitment to curbing future public deficits by getting its pledge that the basic state annual overspend will not exceed 1% of GDP written into the constitution, with all the brakes and other machinery attached.
Chris Johnston with that report. Among the numerous events commemorating the 70th anniversary of the end of the Second World War is a photo exhibition from the Auschwitz Album, a collection of photographs taken inside a Nazi death camp. The collection, on view at the Prague House of Photography, is a horrifying record of the extermination of Jews in the Auschwitz-Birkenau Nazi concentration camp, which had never before been shown to the Czech public. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
The Auschwitz Album, also known as the Lily Jacob Album, is a photographic record of the Holocaust that was never meant to see the light of day. The collection of close to 200 photographs was taken by Nazi officers inside the camp for their own documentation purposes. It shows Jews arriving at the camp, disembarking from trains and undergoing a selection process that was to separate those who were considered fit for work and those who were to be sent directly to the gas chambers. Among the powerful images on display is a series of photographs of a group of Jews selected for extermination, who were made to wait for death in a birch grove outside the gas chamber, which was full at the time. Other photos show Jews waiting to be examined, deloused, and wardens sorting out the looted belongings of prisoners. The identity of the photographer or photographers has never been clearly determined, although two SS men responsible for fingerprinting the camp's inmates have been mentioned as the possible authors. Either way, the photographs taken in cold blood now present the only existing photo documentation of the atrocities and the human degradation suffered by the Jews interned there. They came to light most unexpectedly at the Nordhausen-Dora camp, located 640 kilometers away from their place of origin. Former Auschwitz inmate Lily Jacob, the sole member of her family who escaped death at the camp, passed through several other camps, ending up at the Nordhausen-Dora camp at the time of the liberation. It was there that she came upon the album in an old cupboard and recognized pictures of herself, her relatives, and others from the community. In 1947, she allowed the Jewish Museum in Prague to make copies and, with the money she received, was able to emigrate to the United States. The album was later used as evidence in the Frankfurt Auschwitz trials, and in 1980, Lily Jacob donated it to the Yad Vashem. In Prague, it is being shown courtesy of the Jewish Museum and the Prague City Gallery. Its head, Magdalena Juričková, underlined its significance at the exhibition's opening.
In recent years, we have witnessed many attempts to play down or deny the Holocaust. I think that an authentic document of this kind showing what the Holocaust was like is the best way to bring the message home.
The photo exhibition at the Prague House of Photography on the Revoluční Street will run until September 20th.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Now, in this week's edition of Panorama, Daniela Lazarová looks at the future of the National Museum building, which is undergoing a major reconstruction.
The historic building of the National Museum overlooking Wenceslas Square is undergoing a major renovation that is set to end in 2018. The museum has had to relocate thousands of exhibits and is using the time to create new collections and work on a modern, interactive presentation. I spoke to the head of the museum's collection building and exhibitions department, historian Michal Stehlík, about the renovation and the challenges it poses.
Main building of our National Museum is from 1891 and 120 years without reconstruction, and through the 20th century in the years 45, 68, and when here in Prague was built the underground, the third damage of this building, and this building has many problems, not only through these damages, but for conditions for visitors, old technologies, all these things, old exhibitions, and we have a chance to prepare new old building with new exhibitions. It will be a relative conservative reconstruction, not so many new architecture ideas and so on. We want to respect architect Josef Schulz from 1891. Main changes maybe will be in three points. This building have two huge courts, and we will prepare roofs of this old courts with new space for exhibitions, new space for visitors. And the third point is the tunnel or tube between old and new museum buildings. It's the connection of these new buildings, because near of this old building of National Museum is a new museum building, and we will build one tunnel with exhibition. There will be the multimedial exhibition about 20th century and Wenceslas Squares and Czech history. I think that it can be so interesting for visitors too, and for us it's necessary for this connection, because new exhibitions will be not only in this old building, but here in a new building of museum. It will be some topic about nature, earth and life and so on, because our problem is that the old museum building, it's a relative conservative architecture. And when we will prepare some new exhibitions with new media and so on, it will be a great challenge for an architect. So we have 4 years. I hope that in 2018 will be new old building renovate with the new exhibitions. We will change all permanent exhibitions here in the National Museum, because our old exhibitions was about archaeology, mineralogy, zoology and so on. Very conservative, good for childs or schools, but not so modern, the communicative exhibitions as a British or German New Museum. So we will prepare new 6-7 topics about Czech history, nature history, numismatic and so on. And I hope that for us it will be a new museum in European quality.
This has proved a major logistic challenge for you. You have had to relocate thousands of exhibits from the old building. Where are they now, and are they still all accessible to the public over the next 3 years?
National Museum have collections with 20 million of items. It's many pieces from natural history to theater, archive, history, music, and so on. Actually, all these things are in our depositories, in Terezín or in Horní Počernice, and some of these pieces must be conserved, because the long time of exhibition, it's not good for condition of this items, the temperature, light, and so on. But I hope that all these things will be in 2018 possible to exhibit.
The relocation of one of these items, I think, caused the most public interest and the most media interest. And that was the relocation of the brain of a leading Czech scholar and historian, František Palacký. Now, from today's point of view, this may seem like a morbid relic. Can you explain how František Palacký's brain came to be in the National Museum, and where is it now?
It's a relatively curious but František Palacký was one of the main person of the National Museum in 19th century, so not only in museum but in Czech politic, culture, history and so on. And in 1876, after his death, some people from museum have idea about separating of this brain. And with the family of František Palacký, they separated this, and this brain was in National Museum in depositories. Today we see that's relative curious, I don't know, big question why. Maybe one point is the scientific reasons, because in 1901, was some research about this brain in Charles University. But the second point or second reason can be some reliquary of Czech nation, policy, maybe in 19th century. From the year 1958, this brain was in Pantheon, in the main space of this old building.
The Hall of Fame.
And actually, because this building will be under reconstruction for years, we move this brain to Palacký house here in Prague, and we discuss with public, with family too, and with other people. What will be in 2018? We can back to Pantheon. I don't know. I think that it's about family of Palacký and our director general. But we discuss about it with other people, not only in museum, but through our websites and so on, because it's a relic from 19th century. Today, people have other problems, discuss about some brain of this politic. But National Museum have this item as a part of collections, and we will see. I don't know what will be the Finally, point of Palacký's brain in 2018.
You were actually asking the public to help you decide. Have you had a response so far?
Actually, not so much. We have some responses from family. It's about bury of this brain. It's actually a good view of the family, of the Palacký family. But it's only start of this discussion.
Apparently, there was also a death mask made and a cast of his hand. Is that right? Does the National Museum have that as well?
Yes, it's a maybe specialty of part of our collections because we have many death masks of our politics from the Masaryk through the Švehla, Palacký and so on. This is a huge collection. Actually, next week will be open new exhibition of National Museum, the famous funerals in Czech history, with all these things, because the main exhibition project is a death in National Museum.
So the Pantheon, the Hall of Fame, famous Czech people that the National Museum had in its historic building, will be reconstructed, will stay pretty much as it is. Is that right? That is one of the things that will remain unchanged, probably.
Yes, it will be reconstructed, but it's the other point about our discussion, which persons will be in this Pantheon, because the Pantheon have many changes through the 20th century, the communist era with new persons, era after 1989 with some person out, some persons in, and now we discuss who will be in Czech Pantheon after 2018. We discuss two possibilities. So preparing some situation for new persons, maybe Václav Havel, maybe Jaroslav Seifert. It's one possibility. And second possibility is a conservative to prepare some situation from the first Czechoslovak Republic without these changes of communist and so on. At the moment in 2015, the National Museum don't have finally projects for Pantheon. We discussed very active with our curators and the board of National Museum about these questions: who will be in Czech Pantheon in 2018?
These are all highly interesting things about the Czech Republic. Does the National Museum get a lot of foreign visitors? And what do you have prepared for them? Or do you have an audio guide? Or what do you do for foreign visitors? Do you have a lot of them?
Mm-hmm. I think that we must prepare special communication and special offers for foreign visitors, because the foreign visitors is the second main target group from our visitors. We have a very strong group of schools, or children, and the second are foreign visitors, other is public from Czech Republic and so on. But these two target groups, schools and foreign visitors, are our main target groups. And new exhibitions and new National Museum must to prepare special communication and special conditions for our foreign visitors.
When you say special communication, does that mean that you have, like, live guides?
It's about information, English, German, and so on, languages. But for visitors, it's necessary to prepare some other communication because people from Czech Republic knows our history and have some basic information, but people that are not from Czech Republic, they must have some connections, some background connections with European history and so on. So we discuss about this special communication.
Michal Stehlík, the head of the National Museum's Collection Building and Exhibitions Department, was talking to my colleague Daniela Lazarová. And that edition of Panorama brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franíková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.